It's good to be outside today. It's good to be getting a chance to go safely outside. And I'm partial, you know, to a lot of the rural imagery, a lot of the farming type imagery that we find in the Bible. This image of Jesus as our good shepherd, it resonates with me. And you may wonder why this is, seeing as I've spent the vast majority of my life in the city. But really, I have to take it back years to my father growing up in Belfast and World War II happening. My father grew up in Belfast, an industrial city, of course, in Northern Ireland. And during the war, at the height of the Blitz, children in Belfast, many children were sent away for safety's sake. And my father was sent away. He was sent to a farm in County Fermanagh. And at that point, my father, in his young life, he learned about farming. And I would say he developed a love for farming as well. A few years later, he and my mother married, he started his preaching, his vocational ministry in County Leitrim. And again, it was a very rural setting that he was in. Fast forward about 30 years after that, and they had come to Canada. I came along, and at the age when I was 10 years of age, we moved up to Bruce County, and we lived on 50 acres there. We left Toronto, moved up to Bruce County, and we lived on 50 acres between Paisley, the towns of Paisley and Walkerton. And that love of farming that was instilled in my dad as a young boy, it resulted in him becoming a hobby farmer up there. So we all helped out. You've heard me maybe talk about one of my jobs at times was to herd the geese in, for example, at the end of the day. And I remember taking water out to the sheep in the pasture. That was one of my morning routines when I was young. But one of the things that I remember very vividly is my father going to the fence. And the animals knew my father's voice. He would go to the fence and he would call out to them. And the sheep or the cows or whatever it was that year would come over to him. And these are the things, friends, that shape us. And it's one of the classic images of God and of God's people, a shepherd and sheep. And we've talked throughout Lent, throughout the weeks of Lent, we talked about how things in John symbolize deeper things, how they symbolize spiritual things. And in our scripture today, we have these symbols of sheep and shepherds and gates and gatekeepers and thieves and bandits. And all of these things point to deeper truths. They point to deep truths about God and about us and about our lives. It's the week after Easter. We're in Eastertide, as Pastor Abby said. It's a period of time after Easter when we continue to celebrate the risen Christ, because one day is surely not enough. And if you're here this morning, joining us, instead of all the many different things that you could be doing online and occupying yourself with, I'm going to assume that you're serious about what it means to follow Christ. What does it mean to follow the risen Christ? Otherwise, I'm going to assume that you have a deep interest in finding out what it might be like to follow Christ. But either way, let's look at this story, friends, and hear what God has to say to our hearts. And before we do, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Very truly, I tell you, this is how our passage begins. This is how Jesus' words begin in our story this morning. And this is one of those, if you're familiar with the King James Version, it's one of those verily, verily, I say unto thee moments, or one of those amen, amen moments. When Jesus begins with these words, very truly, I tell you, this is a sign that we should pay particular attention. In the chapter previous to the one we read, Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. And we looked at this story throughout the weeks of Lent. We looked at, this was one of the stories, the signs of Jesus that John writes of, that John tells us of. And as a result of the man being healed, he's been kicked out of the temple. And there's been talk about spiritual sight, spiritual blindness, of walking in the dark versus walking in the light, of going Christ's way or not going Christ's way. And at the beginning of chapter 10 here, we have Christ describing what his way is like. And the question for us this morning, and indeed any morning, and indeed for anyone, the question is, whose voice are we listening to? Whose voice are we listening to? And the thing is, everyone is listening to a voice. Everyone is being led by a voice, even if the voice is saying, you don't need to be led by anyone or anything. This passage has been described here in John 10. It's been described as a dispute that's going on between Jesus and the religious authorities of his day. The thing is, though, no matter what the day is, everyone is religious about something. We all engage in practices religiously, and these point to something foundational that we believe in. Everyone worships something. So the question again becomes, whose voice are we going to listen to? What is the thing, or who is the thing, that we are going to deem worthy of following? And in order to explain what he's talking about, Jesus speaks in what verse 6 of our passage describes as a figure of speech. He's talking in a figure of speech or a parable. And because we're very far removed, both in time and by geography, we're very far removed from a first century Jewish village, it bears some explaining. So in Jesus' day, if you think of a small village, in every household would have a small number of sheep. And the sheep would be kept in a courtyard at the house. And there would be a shepherd assigned to all the sheep in the village. So every morning, the shepherd would go from house to house, from courtyard to courtyard, and he would call the sheep, and they would follow him, and he would take the sheep out to pasture. And at the end of the day, the shepherd would bring the sheep back in, and they would all go to the houses to which they belonged. So the shepherd knows the sheep by name. The sheep know the shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice. They know each other. Now, an interesting thing, in the ancient Near East, and indeed in the modern Near East too, sheep aren't so much herded or driven as they are in the West, maybe in the way that we're familiar with. You could all picture, and here's a picture of a sheepdog shepherding some sheep. You'll see that the sheepdog is driving the sheep from behind. But in the ancient Near East, the way it worked was the shepherd led the sheep from the front. Here's a picture that I took in Jordan some years ago. We were driving in Jordan, and a shepherd led his sheep across the highway. And you can see from the sheep, and there's another donkey too in the picture, just because donkey. And anyway, he's leading the sheep from the front. They know the sound of his voice, and they follow him. And Jesus says that anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. They will not follow a stranger, Jesus says, but they will run from him because they do not know his voice. Now, the thing is, to know Christ's voice, to follow Christ, to know his voice, and to be becoming ever more familiar with Christ's voice means that voices of strangers will become ever increasingly jarring to our ears. Voices that aren't Christ's will become ever more even shocking to us. Now, there are many voices today that beckon us to follow. There are many voices that promise us this is where life is found, this is where security and safety are found, or this is where freedom is found. In Jesus' day, there were religious authorities whose main purpose in life was holding on to power and wealth. There were political authorities whose main goal was holding on to power and wealth and their own self-aggrandizement and self-serving leaders. And as I think of this, I think it's a good thing that we're not faced with this kind of thing today. But of course we are. But seriously, when it comes to leaders, in many ways we're used to leaders who are very far removed from us. We're used to leaders that we follow who are very far from knowing our names or knowing anything about us, whether we're talking about leaders in politics or commerce or entertainment. Look at how excited we get, for instance, when a famous entertainer follows us or likes one of our things on social media. We're very far from our leaders. But Jesus here is speaking of himself as a different kind of leader. And this is an image, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament, this image of a leader, of a king as a shepherd. And the king as a shepherd is not some sort of distant autocrat or not some sort of self-aggrandizing distant ruler, but one who knows their people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is how Psalm 23 opens up. Or we have this beautiful passage from Isaiah 40 that goes like this, talking about God. And the prophet Isaiah, he speaks these words. He says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother's sheep. So we have this beautiful image of God carrying us against his chest, of God gently leading mother sheep. The old hymn goes, "The King of Love, my shepherd is," and we're going to be singing it at the end of our service. And the question for us this morning is, can we say that this morning? Do we call Jesus our shepherd, Jesus, the risen Jesus, the King of Love, our shepherd? This is the one who is speaking to us in the passage. And in this passage, it's not so much, the question isn't so much about good shepherds versus bad shepherds. Or when we say good shepherd, we're not necessarily talking about how the shepherd does on his annual performance appraisal. It's more a question of true shepherd versus not true shepherd, authentic shepherd versus inauthentic shepherd. And again, that question arises, whose voice are we listening to? When we think of the word good shepherd here, the word has a connotation that means noble or beautiful. So we're talking about Jesus as the beautiful shepherd. What a lovely image of Christ. And again, the question that's put before us every day is this his voice that we're going to listen to, his voice that we're going to seek? To follow Jesus is to call him our shepherd. But we note from our passage that Jesus also describes himself as our gate, as the gate. And here, the scene has shifted. We talked about the sheep situation in the village at the beginning of this. Here, the scene has shifted to the pasture. And you see, when the sheep would be led to the pasture, sometimes they would overnight out there. They would spend the night, and they were kept in a small enclosure. The enclosure was ringed by stones, and the shepherd would lead them into this enclosure at night. Now, the thing about these enclosures was they didn't have a gate. So what the shepherd would do is the shepherd would lie across the entryway to the enclosure. The shepherd would act as the gate. In other words, the shepherd was protecting the sheep. The shepherd was keeping them safe. The shepherd was leading them to pasture. In other words, friends, the shepherd is leading us to life. The shepherd guards our going out and our coming in. As it says, the psalmist sings in Psalm 121, verse 8, there's this wonderful line, "The Lord will keep your going and coming in from this time and forevermore." The Lord will keep your going out and coming in from this time on and evermore. The shepherd, in other words, has come that we might have life, and that we might have life abundantly. We've been talking about abundance throughout this look at the Gospel of John, an abundance of wine, meaning an abundance of grace, an abundance of bread, an abundance of fish, meaning an abundance of life, an abundance of love, life abundant, meaning life lived in communion with God, both in this age and in the age to come. Life abundant, in which nothing at all in this world can separate us from our good shepherd. And this is the good news for us this morning. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. A shepherd who loves us even unto death. A shepherd who loves us sacrificially. And we go on in our passage and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd, the noble shepherd. The beautiful shepherd is the one in whom life is found. The hired hand doesn't own the sheep and so runs when danger comes. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is not in it for himself, in other words. And this is a lesson not only for leaders, but for all who call Christ our Lord. Not only is the good shepherd not in it for himself, but he's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And N.T. Wright describes it. He puts it like this. He says, the sheep are facing danger. The shepherd will go to meet it. And if necessary, he will take upon himself the fate that would otherwise befall the sheep. In Jesus' case, it was necessary, and he did. And this is, of course, what we celebrated last weekend over Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Sacrificial love, love that cost something. And this is, of course, the same sort of love that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will enable in us. You might have heard the story. There was an Italian priest. His name was Don Giuseppe Berardelli, and he was an archpriest of the San Giovanni Battista parish in Italy. And he loved sacrificially. He was given a ventilator by his parishioners. They bought him a ventilator. He contracted COVID-19. He gave up his ventilator. He said, I want a younger person to have this ventilator. He was 72 years of age, and he died on March 15th. He was a good shepherd. He loved sacrificially. And I wonder in what ways that we're being called by God to love sacrificially these days. Our invitation this day, friends, and every day, is to call Jesus Christ our shepherd. Which, of course, means that, continuing this image, that means we're sheep. Now, sheep are not the most noble of animals, even in the farmyard. Sheep tend to follow. I was talking about those sheep that I used to help look after in Bruce County, where we lived. And I always remember they would be going along the fence. And at one point in the fence, there was a large rock that was right up against the fence. And they would be walking along the fence. The first sheep would awkwardly clamber over the rock. And the rest of the sheep would dutifully follow, each clambering over the rock. And I always wondered why one in the line just didn't go around the rock. And I was always looking for one sheep to be a maverick sheep. But it never happened. Sheep follow, but the thing is, as I said earlier, we all follow something. And the invitation here, friends, is to follow Jesus' voice, to follow Jesus, and in our good shepherd to find forgiveness and peace and compassion and love in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who is also our shepherd who leads us to good pasture, and he's also the gate that protects us and that keeps us in God's love. In everyday things, we're shown spiritual truths. So this morning, friends, may we count ourselves among Christ's sheep, listening for his voice, following where he would have us go, and making his ways known in our deeds and by our words every day. May these things, friends, be true for each and every one of us. Amen.